Well, I think he had everything, Andy. You know, I mean, Ronnie O'Sullivan, we know he's a fantastic player. He went into a 3-0 lead, and I was beginning to think we weren't going to have a final session. But, you know, Selby, who'd had a very tough game the day before, obviously against Neil Robertson, was clearly fatigued in the first session, but stuck in there, you know, without making big breaks. And that 10-7 lead probably was the best Selby could hope for. The way he played the following day was quite some of the best snooker, some of the best safety, especially I've seen at the Crucible in, you know, 40 years, nearly, or 37 years now. So it was just the best final. The standard was amazingly high. And the great news was, you know, 5.6 million peak on BBC's, the highest snooker rating for many, many, many years. So all in all, a massive tick in the box, and well done to Sheffield.
And to add to that as well, the people at the BBC who sort all this thing out, I don't quite know who it is, a total of 17.6 million watched, which is great, and it's 2 million up on the year before.
Yeah, it's been a big success. I mean, you know, we've been rebuilding over the last 4 or 5 years. You know, we've changed a lot of the formats, we've changed a lot of selection, but we've left the World Championships as that standalone blue ribbon event that sits at the top of the pile of all the snooker events around the world. It hit over 300 million live audience, which is just a staggering figure. You know, it's up there with, you know, your Formula Ones and your Wimbledons and your Open Championship golfs. It is a major, major part of the British sporting scene. And it's just nice for me that, you know, the work that's gone into it over the last few years is being repaid just by the, you know, the players are producing some brilliant entertainment. The crowds were just magnificent. I mean, they were so enthusiastic. And, you know, to get that final tick in the box with the viewing figures from our host broadcaster, the BBC, was a great compliment to where the sport is now. It's in a very good place.
And usually the story is O'Sullivan because of the standard of the player that he is. But he was almost unwittingly involved this time in some of the great matches, obviously the final, in the way that that transpired, and Joe Perry pushing him all the way.
Yeah, I mean, Ronnie is one of those special athletes that's got extra gears. And, you know, Joe Perry game was a great example. You know, Perry led 11-9, pretty unlucky in off on a safety shot. And from that moment on, it was the Ronnie O'Sullivan show. He just found those extra turbo gears. He couldn't do it against Selby because Selby's safety play was so good. I mean, it was, you know, quite the best safety exchanges I've ever seen. And devastating when he got in after a mistake. And the pressure was piling up on Ronnie, who I thought came out of it with a huge amount of credit as the battler that he is as well. It was another side of the Ronnie O'Sullivan game. But Selby on his day was his master, you know, and we have to acknowledge that. And at 30 years old, the future is very bright for Mark Selby. He's one of the great, nice characters on the world of snooker, loves the sport, wants to play all over the world, building a great life for him and his family. And we are the recipients of watching some great sport in action. It couldn't have really gone better. I'm a little bit fragile because we had quite a late party afterwards. It was a huge celebration. But, you know, the nice thing was, halfway through the evening, Mark Selby took the microphone, and the guy can sing as well.
Can he really?
He went up with a rock band, and he was sensational. I mean, he brought the house down. But how nice and how typically eccentric in England that we have sporting events where the stars are still so accessible to the paying public. You know, that's what I loved about it. It was much more than just a major sporting event winner. It sort of encompassed everything that I think sport should be, you know, where people are accessible, they are touchable, and they're part of it. Not, you know, they're obviously the star at the top of the show, but their integration with the paying public and in the viewers was sensational. I think Selby's got a huge career ahead of him, let's be honest.
Yeah,
he was a magnificent performer.
Considering some of the sports could probably learn from that. Some people are just a bit too talented for their own good if he can sing as well.
Well, he's got everything going for him. But I think you're right. In this day and age, you know, we look at sort of various sportsmen on massive, massive salaries, and they sometimes lose touch with the common man, you know. And I think it's important, imperative that snooker keeps those touches. It's part and parcel of the Crucible and being at Sheffield and, you know, actually making a statement that we may be a very small island, but we can still produce sporting drama, the like of which other nations just turn green with envy.
Every year, we seem to ask the same question, but perhaps this year it's pertinent because of just where you are with the Crucible. Mm. How confident are you that beyond next year, because obviously that's all fixed up already, that the World Championships will still be here in Sheffield?
Well, you know, it's like everything else. You always make the caveat. We stay where we're comfortable, where we have history, but we only stay if we're welcome, you know, and I think Sheffield's always made us welcome. And I think the City Council, you know, they've done a terrific job in keeping us there, and we're not looking to move. It does involve, obviously, the support of Sheffield City Council. They have to have a desire to want us there, and I believe that desire is there, and I'm very confident over the next few months that we'll wrap up a long-term deal. You know, you could, until it's signed, you can never say never. But I don't want, you know, I've enjoyed 40 years now of promoting snooker. So my first event was in 1974. I don't want my memory to be the man that took the greatest snooker event in the world away from Sheffield. I want it to stay, and I'm pretty sure that we'll end up doing the deal, and I hope in the next 2 or 3 months that we can put pen to paper and take all this conjecture out, because it's not conjecture that's come from us. Clearly the Chinese are desperate to have the World Snooker Championships there. We know that. I mean, they're even building a replica of the Crucible south of Beijing at the moment, you know, to stage it. So they're making a commitment. But you don't mess with history. And Sheffield is not just steel, it's snooker. And it's our home, and we want to stay there.
I suppose I would have to ask that if they're prepared to spend so much money on snooker with it, this tournament, and also replicas of the Crucible over there as well, what's to ultimately keep it here in Sheffield?
I think our desire to maintain the roots of the game and a great British sporting spectacle that, you know, I can't imagine Wimbledon suddenly going to Florida. I just don't think that's what sport is about. Sometimes, and it's refreshing for me to say this, but sometimes it's not just about the money. Sometimes it's about something much more important. And I think the bond we've got with the people of Sheffield, the way they turn out, the way they support us, that we owe them. And that's a simple philosophy. And of course, there's a commercial deal to be done, but it's not going to be at a level that's going to frighten anyone off that has the vision to understand the benefits of the World Snooker Championships in Sheffield. The fact that there are 300 million live audience, the fact that it's putting Sheffield on the map, on a global map, the fact that there are more, I think, more Chinese students in Sheffield University than any other university in the country, that it does bring in a huge amount of revenue into the city, and it's good business for the snooker to stay there. That's the sort of conundrum, if you like, that Sheffield City Council are taking on board, and that's the basis of us doing a deal with them to make sure we stay there. But you know, it's a bit like the movie Jerry Maguire, when Tom Cruise said, or the girl said to Tom Cruise, "You had me when you said hello." You know, we're comfortable there. We feel at home. And it's refreshing, as I say, in today's world of modern sport, that sometimes it's not just about the money. If it was about the money solely, we'd be on the next plane to Beijing. As far as I'm concerned, I'm driving up the M1 to Sheffield.
Well, that's good to hear. There has been this idea, and it clearly hasn't come from you, but this idea about how the snooker and Sheffield together then is perceived and how it represents Sheffield right now, as to whether it gives the best representation of this city. What would you say to that?
Well, I think the city, obviously the snooker takes place inside a theatre called the Crucible. It's seen in, you know, over 80 countries globally, and it stamps the message that there are things happening, that it's a vibrant city, it stages vibrant events. As far as the image of snooker is concerned, you know, certainly in Asia, snooker has become part of school curriculums. It's played by youngsters in school as part of their normal day, and it's becoming a huge success story. You know, it's almost, you know, on the golf model, if you like, of people. Anyone can play. But it does also bring a level of entertainment that gives that feel-good factor and the feeling. It's a perception issue that things are happening in Sheffield. And that encourages investment, it encourages jobs growth, it encourages the council to motivate everyone in the city to show the image of a city moving forward. And I think that's really, being host to such a prestigious event as this is part, not all, but it's part of the story that Sheffield is selling. And if that's not identified, I mean, from a commercial sense, if you evaluated the advertising cost of the number of times that Sheffield is mentioned during a broadcast and put that into a 30-second commercial buy cost, it comes to hundreds of millions of pounds. So there is a huge value in my mind to it. Sometimes people don't look out of the box and they live in a goldfish bowl. We're in a global market now, and we need to be a global feature, and we need a global reputation. And certainly Sheffield has benefited from snooker for tens of millions of pounds worth of value on that basis. And I'm very happy that we've delivered, because they've delivered to us the perfect venue, the perfect audience, the perfect mix of drama to allow our players to entertain the world. And it's all coming out of Sheffield. I think we should all be very proud of what we've achieved and look at the bigger picture.
Does the feedback that you have, and I appreciate there's still a long way to go if it's 2 or 3 months off, do you get the view that Sheffield Council want what you want?
Yes, I do. I mean, obviously, you know, we live in difficult times, and there's an awful lot of pressure on local government these days to hit, you know, spending budgets, etc. I understand that. You know, we've all got to live in the real world. That works for both sides. But I believe there's a meaningful dialogue in process. I was very impressed with the Sheffield City councillors that came to watch the final on Monday. And I'm quite sure that they want to maintain this relationship. As I say, until the contract's signed, nothing is for certain. But I would be very surprised if we didn't do a deal in the next 2 or 3 months.
Just finally, and on a completely different tack, are we going to be catching up with you ahead of Leighton Orient against Rotherham United in the playoff final?
Well, hey, well, you know, it's football side is very exciting. I mean, the playoffs is something I think adds a huge amount of drama to the end of the season. The great thing, there's four very good teams in the playoffs in Division 1. Preston, Leighton Orient, Rotherham, of course, and Peterborough. On their day, each side can beat the other. And if they have a bad day, the reverse is true. So it's going to be a fascinating scenario. There is a very good case to argue that it may well be us against Rotherham in the playoff final, in which case we will have a fantastic day, a friendly sport played in the right spirit for a massive prize, you know, elevation to the championship, which is every small club's dream. And I suppose of the four teams in it, Leighton Orient are the smallest. But, you know, when the players run over that white line, it's up to them, isn't it? But we're the beneficiaries again, because starting Saturday, yeah, all bets are off, isn't it? It's going to be a fantastic time. And, you know, seriously wish Rotherham the best of luck. I won't wish them the best of luck if they beat us in the final. But they've got Alex Revelle playing for them, who used to be a Leighton Orient player we always thought a lot of. So there is some sort of association of bonding with us. And we're all trying for a great sporting prize. But the thing is, we've all had a great season. You know, football's a very competitive sport, and the four teams that have made the playoffs should really look in the mirror and say, well done to each. You know, the fans should actually respond and say, that's the mark of a good season, and they're four good teams.